2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Big thanks to Harvey Unger for joining us. And I got to tell you, that's worth a listen. You go to kslsports.com. You can find that in podcast form. And I would suggest go listen to Harvey Unger talk about his new transfer, talk about developing Tyler Allgeier, and talk about that running back room in its entirety. Blake Anderson, the head coach of Utah State, is going to join us at 2:05. We're going to take a really good look at the Utah State camp. What's going on there? Utah State kicking off against the number one ranked team, according to the coaches poll, in Alabama, coming up very quickly. And in order to get us all caught up on the University of Utah and what's going on at Camp Kyle, we've got Patrick Kinahan, PK, and DJ in the morning. PK, how you doing, man?
I am doing well, just in the countdown mode until we have actual football.
Man, it's coming fast. It's coming really fast. Did you see the coaches' poll rankings?
Yeah, what were they, seventh or eighth?
Yeah, eighth in the coaches' poll. Utah was.
Yeah.
I thought that, you know, anywhere from really five to eight. Eight's probably low end, but five to nine, I guess I could go. I'm okay with Utah. Were you surprised that BYU wasn't in that poll?
No, not really. They got votes, what were they, three or four out of it. So they're in a good position for where they need to be. And it's funny, that football practice the first day last week, talking to some guys off the side, that they feel like that's a better position for them to be in, and they'd rather be in that. One person said, hey, keep talking about Utah on the radio, okay? Because they're getting all the publicity, or a lot of it anyway. And BYU feels like, hey, we got a pretty good team. We do what we're capable of doing. We can be successful. But we like flying under the radar a little bit. You know, it used to be they like where Utah used to be, and where now Utah isn't.
That's what I was going to say, is this is usually Utah's angle. And I was on air with Frank Dolce, and I was talking about going back to last preseason, before the season got started. I was yip-yapping, and one of the coaches was out of practice and listened and got a text right in the middle of the show that said, can you please not set those types of expectations? Like, that is not us. Just shut your mouth. And I was like, it's my job to open my mouth, bud. But,
well, that's true.
Yeah. Utah loves to be in that position, and they're not. You know, PK, I know you've covered Kyle Whittingham every year that he's coached in this state. As a head coach, have you ever heard this type of optimism and openness of, yeah, we kind of know who we are, now we got to embrace it? Have you ever heard anything like it?
No, not as you put it like that, Hans, when you compare it to other years. In 2019, they knew that they were going to be heavily favored to win the South, and they did. But that was just the South, and you had Justin Herbert and those guys sitting over there in the North. So now we've done away with the North and the South, right?
Yep.
So it is just about the Pac-12, And obviously they've been picked first in the Pac-12, so it's sort of back to the future a little bit, going to the old days with that. And I'm glad they did that so we could talk about who's best in the conference rather than who's best in an individual division. And so with this in mind, when you eliminate the divisions and you talk about the preseason ranking, I don't believe they've ever been preseason ranked higher than eighth. So right there, that's a noteworthy status. And they know that people are talking about them as a potential playoff. Who's going to get that fourth spot? We don't know what's going to happen, but we do know that it's Georgia, Alabama, and Ohio State recognized as the three that are most likely to get in. So who's going to get that fourth spot? And then at that point, when you get in that discussion, Utah's name is mentioned, as far as I've been able to hear and see and read and all that stuff, is that they have been mentioned just as much as anybody else for being in that fourth spot. And it's no longer a cute story. Used to be if you went with Utah or somebody like that, it's like, oh, man, I'm showing off my knowledge here because they're a dark horse. And look at me with my trendy pick that isn't being out there by a lot of teams. Well, that a lot of pick prognosticators, that philosophy, that storyline, that's over. You're picking Utah this year. It's like, okay, yeah, we get it. We know where they were from, where they came from, and where they are and where they want to go. Yeah. Like, I got a little religious there, but I didn't mean it.
Well, just to prove your point, it's interesting just to see. We had a chance to catch up with Jonathan Smith, the coach at Oregon State, and it was interesting to see him just completely hang his hat on the win against Utah. Like, that's all he was. He just had this grin, like, it didn't matter what we did last year, boys. We beat Utah. It was like, oh, okay, so Utah's hit that status where the head coach at Oregon State is hanging his hat on that win. You could tell that it was really important to him. But watching Utah now open up at Florida, PK, you've been doing this college football thing for a long time. You've seen a lot of those games and those openers in the swamp. I've played in those temperatures. I know they can be intense, and you've watched them many, many times. How does that thing go, Utah opening up in Florida?
Yeah, it's real interesting because I think you guys played in Jacksonville against Florida State,
yep.
If I remember correctly,
that
right?
Correct.
And
yeah.
I know that that was about a 5 o'clock tip.
Yep.
And I went to the beach that day and fell asleep. And so I was battling a sunburn that night.
It was a miserable. Oh, man, PK. The weather, everything about that trip was really difficult, man.
Defense, if I remember well, pretty well. You just have no offense.
No offense.
You have a quarterback who had any experience out on the field, I believe, and they hadn't discovered that Brandon Doman might be good enough. That
yep.
took a while for them to get in there and to realize that. But the defense played well, which is what I would expect this year from the Utah defense, is to go there and play well. And we do know it's been tarnished just a bit because they've lost some bowl games. And Keithy was bringing up today, man, I haven't won a bowl game since I've been here. That used to be, you know, if you gave Kyle a couple of weeks, he was going to out-duel the other coach. The shine's gone off that a little bit in the last couple of bowl games in which they, you know, the Rose Bowl they competed, but the Alamo Bowl, they sort of got run off the field there. But I do think the defense should play well because I'm not sure about Florida's offense. Now, Napier, the coach, he used to coach at Arizona State and was viewed as a potential head coaching candidate before they made that idiot decision to hire Edwards, but that's another story. So he's known for being a very good offensive mind, and Richardson is going to be he wasn't the incumbent last year. He did play enough, but their primary starter is now in Tempe as the musical chairs of transfers plays out. So I think Utah would have an advantage. Offensively, you know, it really was a bummer last year to see the slow start that they got off to, obviously. And they made the quarterback change, and that was a big deal. But I think that, in retrospect, you know, it damaged last year, but I think it's going to help bring the focus together this year because Ludwig can say, listen, guys, man, we weren't ready to go last year, and we got our butts kicked in a couple of games. You know, BYU got us pretty good, and San Diego State, we had a nice comeback in the second half, but they got after us in the first half. So that should provide the focus. And then I think nobody wants to talk about the high expectations too much, but everybody knows they're there. And, you know, you could still theoretically get into the playoff if you lose to Florida, but that would be such a downer on a team that's went 6-7 last year and has brought in a new staff. So I think they got enough to get that done. And if they should play really, really well, then it's going to be about, wow, man, let's manage expectations because they're through the roof now. So maybe ideally would be play well enough to win, but leave yourself plenty of teaching moments for the coaches to get after you so you're ready to go, not necessarily the next week because I think they got SUU, but then San Diego State and then into the conference season.
That was going to actually be my next question, talking about that Florida and just a one-loss schedule or a one-loss situation and Utah's ability to keep position as a top four team in that college football playoff. So, I mean, I could draw just a bunch of different scenarios out, PK, but let's say they get a win against Florida and it's a close one, just a real nail biter. And Florida goes on to be a 500 SEC team or just above 500 SEC team. And Utah slips up against, let's say, Oregon. Let's say they run the table all the way to Oregon, November 19th, the second to last game of the season, and Oregon catches them in Autzen. And then they beat Colorado, and maybe they even avenge the Oregon loss. Can a one loss, because what is the last undefeated Pac-12 team we've seen? Have we?
No, there's been no one since they've gone to the Pac-12. There has been no team go 9-0. Literally none.
That's insanity. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's the nature of the conference, and I've been following this conference for many, many years, having grown up in the conference, obviously, since I was a teenager in my alma mater and all that stuff, and it was the only conference I followed, basically, until I got to Salt Lake, because it was all for me. It was all about the Pac-10, and the thing that I've discovered, and I said this when they went into the conference, there's always two or three head-scratchers, because they're going to have guys that are NFL skill players, but the team isn't necessarily good. And you had ASU, of all teams, in 19, next to last game, the Ducks with Herbert and those guys go down to Tempe. Devils are on like a 5-game losing streak, and they need they're like 3rd-and-16 late in the game. All the momentum is to Oregon, and that freshman Daniels drops back, and he puts it in the breadbasket of Brandon Ayuk, and he catches it. It's like and that play essentially knocks Oregon out of the playoff because they had lost to, I think, Georgia maybe earlier in the year or somebody, first game of the season, I forget. But my point is there's Ayuk on the side there. He gets behind the DBs, and Ayuk is an NFL guy. We know that. He might be the leading receiver this year for the Niners. The team wasn't very good when he was in college. It was okay. But he got deep because he's an NFL player. We saw that early on when the Oregon State Beavers came to Rice-Eccles, and they had Brandon Cooks and Sean Mannion. Mannion never really has become a big-time stud in the NFL, but he's been in the NFL, and Cooks is a really good receiver. So they beat them, and we saw that with Leach. A couple of his teams came in and handled the Utes. I think the Utes are better prepared for that because they just got more talent now. So I don't know that under that scenario that they would be eliminated if they went 8-1 and then especially if they turn around and beat that same team in the conference title game. But it depends on what happens in the rest of the country because the Pac-12 isn't exactly just bathing in respect. But I think if you go 9-1, which would include the title game and no other losses, I think you got to receive serious consideration for the playoff. But that's my Pac-12 bias too.
PK, before we let you go, I just wanted to did you pick up on anything from camp today? Anything that's new? Any breaking news?
Talking about their health, you know, everything's fine there as far as we know. Kyle doesn't necessarily like talk about that anyway. But you know, the battle is raging on for backup quarterback, and they got to get that done. And then safeties, defensive backfield, and then he wants a settled offensive line, and he's not quite there yet. Miley's the starting center, and Kyle did say he has to be beat out. Doesn't necessarily anticipate that happening. But I don't know if they settled specifically on five guys, although it's not like they're dealing from a position, man, we got to have somebody step up because if we don't, we're in trouble. I don't think any of that is related to the team this year. He did say the punting, which was abominable last year, is in a much better situation. And it's almost like, well, you couldn't get any worse, really. but it wasn't just that. He seemed to be very encouraging about the punting situation. And we know when they had Tom and Wisnowski, those guys were legitimate weapons, were able to flip the field on a number of times, especially when the offense wasn't expected to be as good and probably wasn't than what we expect the offense to be this year.
They've always had that special teams weapon, whether it was Britton Covey on a return or one of those guys punting or a field goal that you would expect to go through at 52 yards. It feels like they always had something to hang their hat on with special teams. And I can't even remember a year of Kyle Whittingham and the Utes in the Pac-12 where they didn't have some type of preseason recognition for a special teams player at the University of Utah, and they were blanked on that. It's crazy to see it.
It really was, because when you look at it, if you go into the game, okay, there's three phases, offense, defense, special teams. It was an automatic that Utah had an advantage over you and your special teams, and it showed. It manifested itself big time. Last year, it was a fair amount of slippage, and they got to get that back, at least be even. Don't lose the battle automatically, and that was the problem. After winning the special teams battle so many years in a row, and not just winning it, but dominating it.
Well, PK, appreciate it, man. Thanks for all the work you do.
Okay, talk to you.
You bet. PK, DJ and PK in the morning, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. I just look at the way Utah's schedule lines up, they should beat Florida on the road. Should be able to get them in the swamp. It's a difficult place to play, but this is a really good Utah team. And I think it's a middle-of-the-pack Florida team.
I haven't heard anybody as confident as Will Snowden about how they're going to put a beating on them.
I know, man.
Will was... They are going to put an absolute beat. Is Will pulling the old? And if they don't,
no,
it's a major disappointment.
No, he's not. He's not. It's just Will.
He's going to thump him.
Will just gets set in his ways, man. And Will sees things the way he sees things. This is going to be a really tough game. I do agree with Will that Utah wins that game. Just think it's going to be really tough. Then they get to kind of regain their balance a bit coming home against Southern Utah. And then they've got this grudge match, I guess, replay back or whatever against San Diego State. So there's your non-conference games. And then if you can escape that, you've got a pretty tough stretch where you're on the road at UCLA. Well, first of all, you've got to avenge the loss that you had against Oregon State last year. And then you're on the road against UCLA. And then you've got this new remake of a Trojans team that's going to be visiting you October 15th. Lloyd, my full expectations come October 15th. I think that the Utes should be 6-0. And I think that USC is probably 6-0. So I think USC, if I remember right, USC has got six games coming into that game as well.
And you'll have College Game Day coming in for that one, I would imagine.
Yeah, they should both be 6-0. These are the games USC plays before they play Utah. Rice, Stanford, Fresno, Oregon State, ASU, and Washington State. There's not a chance there better not be a chance that USC, with their investment into Lincoln Riley and talking Caleb Williams out of staying at Oklahoma, that USC should be able to get themselves to 6-0. And I've got those same expectations for the Utes. So October 15th, you should have two undefeated teams, both of them probably at that point ranked inside the top six. Both should be ranked inside the top six. Maybe he's top eight. Utah would probably be in that 4-5 range. USC's probably in that 6-7 range. And that will be a big game. If they can get past that one, get a little bit of a break with Washington State, Arizona, and Stanford before you play what will be a probably ranked Oregon team, then you finish it out with Colorado. It's incredible to me that you don't have a team in the Pac-12 that's been 9-0, and it's just the way the Pac-12 is, which tells you, Lloyd, that you can't count on Utah running the Pac-12.
Probably, I see all these weird games that I think to myself, yeah, sure, Arizona State's a mess, but that's at Arizona State, and weird things happen.
Which leaves you no room for an out-of-conference loss.
Remember, I mean, that one time they were supposed to smoke Arizona, and twice. It was a home game, and it was like the awful conditions, yeah. and you're thinking, oh, this matches up for Utah. It's going to be terrible conditions, yeah. and they practiced in the rain or sprinklers or whatever and came in and put it to them.
I know. So, you know, because you know what's going on with the Pac-12, you know that you've got to kind of schedule in a loss there somewhere. That means you don't have any room for an out-of-conference loss. You've got to beat Florida. You got to make sure you take care of the other two. Got to beat them.
Wouldn't it be pretty cool if somehow they came out unscathed?
Well.
And pulled their third undefeated season.
You know, if Kyle Whittingham could talk as confidently as he's talking about his team, then I feel a little bit more comfortable talking confidently about it. Because Coach Whittingham typically isn't this open about his confidence in a team, but man, it has been really interesting seeing how confident he has been. All right, if you're struggling in the bedroom, give Wasatch Medical Clinic a call. 801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000. They've got some real great options out there for you to get back into that physical health that you've been trying to get into. 801-901-8000. If ED is putting you down, give them a call. 801-901-8000. We announce number 20 in our 60 and 60. And then we get into our good, bad, and ugly. Number 20, Lloyd. Whew, man.
The season's almost here.
It's almost here. Number 20 next in our good, bad, and ugly.
This is Unrivaled.
You guys are doing a hell of a job.
Joining us on Unrivaled, Michael Felder, college football analyst for Stadium.
BYU, I'm rooting for, because the reality of it is, if this team wins 11 games, they probably belong in the playoff based on the schedule. What I'm telling you is, with this schedule, with what they're doing, like, if their one loss is a close loss to Notre Dame or a close loss to Baylor, and then Baylor wins their Big 12 championship, or Notre Dame goes 11-1 or whatever it is, or 12-0, the reality is this team belongs in the mix more than a lot of other teams out of the Power 5.
That is unbelievable.
Catch Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery weekdays from 3 to 7 on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show?
Every moment of every show is available in podcast form
by searching Hanson Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G,
presented by U First Credit Union
on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Just working on this film that I'm sending out. Number 20 in our 60 and 60 is Mr. Do-It-All Everything. He is absolutely linebacking perfection when he is healthy. Lloyd, let's kick this thing off. Here's number 20 in our 60 and 60.
Here we go.
Now let's get this party started.
This is the top 60 and 60 as the zone counts you down to the start of the 2022 college football season. And now it's time for today's selection as voted on by the local sports media and you, the fan. And then there were 20. As we reach the best of the best in the state of Utah, we focus on another member of the Cougar defense who was a menace for opposing offenses last season and is expected to be a force again in 2022. At number 20, from Brigham Young University, 6'3", 235-pound linebacker, Peyton Wilgar. Brigham Young University head coach, Kalani Sitake.
Peyton Wilgar, linebacker,
can also play D-end. He has that safety background, so, and from high school, so he can knows how to cover in space. But a really big body that can handle the line of scrimmage. He's what you want in a linebacker, and has next level ability.
This is the Top 60 and 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. Top 60 and 60 on 97.5 1280 The Zone.
He really does have next level ability. He is just that good. And obviously a ridiculous injury at the back end of last year that has kept him sidelined, but by all accounts should be rocking and ready to go. I saw that Wilgar and Rex Lloyd, if I'm not mistaken, both of them were participating in camp, and I will be getting down to camp pretty soon to put my eyes on these guys myself. But Peyton Wilgar, in my consideration, is the classic throwback BYU linebacker. He is the Rob Morris. He is the Colby Clausen. He is the Brad Martin. He's the Justin Inna. He is that classic BYU big-bodied linebacker that will take on the block. He will spark the gap. He will do everything he can to get himself into perfect zone positioning. And I put out two bits of film on Peyton showing probably six, maybe seven different defensive plays. So there's two videos out there, 975 Hants on Twitter, that you can go look at and get a feel for who Peyton Wilgar is. He just, in fact, you know, you go through, well, let's see, I've gone through, what is it, Lloyd? 40 players now?
Yep.
I think this is 40 players in their film that I've gone through. There might have been one guy, maybe two, that had more impressive film, maybe. But Wilgar's film is just solid. Everything he does,
he just grabs stats all over the place.
All over, from different times, yes. From interceptions to forced fumbles to fumble recoveries to tackles to TFLs to sacks, all over the field. So he needs to stay healthy. I mean, I say he needs to stay healthy, but really BYU's linebacking group is so deep, he doesn't have to stay healthy in order for BYU to be successful. But if BYU wants,
he makes them better.
If BYU wants to hit the levels that they're hoping to hit, he needs to stay healthy. He's so good. It was so much fun putting together his film review. Go give it a look at 975 Hants. You can find it at KSLSports.com as well. The 60 and 60 list is up in its entirety. And it's so great because you can pull up the list, click on the name. It'll take you to the entire write-up. You can go through, read all about the player, look at the film review, hear from the coach, hear what the coach has to say about the player. So you can select. If you're a Utah fan, you can go through and just hit your Utah players. If you're a BYU fan, go through and hit your BYU fans. Utah State, go through and hit your Utah State players. And you can pick through and listen to what the coaches say. He is absolutely. In fact, Lloyd, go back. Just go look at the two film reviews that I put out on him. You tell me, man. That's it, all around. And I tried to look at TFLs, interceptions, zone coverage, flats coverage, and the ability to take on a blocker at the line and make the tackle. Those are all my grading points for linebackers. I know it's dorky, but anyways, I included each of those in the film. So go check it out. It is at KSLSports.com as well. KSL Sports saying, say what? We're at number 20 already? Yeah, we are at number 20 already. All right, Lloyd, let's jump in our good, bad, and ugly.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
And I was happy to see this because I always look for something that draws me into NFL preseason games. Lloyd, coming up this Friday, you're going to get to see Jordan Love, now coming into his third year with the Packers. It's going fast, isn't it? Third year with the Packers. Third year is his Aaron Rodgers' backup.
It feels like just
as a first-round pick.
It doesn't feel like that long ago he was slinging it for Utah State. Like, that's crazy that he's been in the NFL for 3 years now.
Well, and it makes you wonder, is Green Bay just sitting there like, all right, at some point, we got to figure out why we picked this guy in the first round? at some point, we've got to use this guy. We picked him in the first round. He was a first-round pick.
Well, you brought it up last week. Like, this is great for his, as far as getting his years.
It's great
like,
for his years and development.
Yes.
It is.
Not only that, like, I mean, staying in the league long enough,
yeah.
like, tenure, I mean.
But at some point, he's.
Yeah, they're going to have to figure it out at some point.
Got to get the break. But he, in the first two preseason games, Lloyd, Jordan Love is going to be starting and playing for the Green Bay Packers. So this Friday, slated to kick off at 6:30, you can find it on the NFL Network.
Give me a reason to watch some preseason football.
Yeah, that's number
like to
one
watch
for
the
me.
Locals.
You got Matt LaFleur, who's taken over there at Green Bay, and he was talking about, at his press conference, talking about what Love needs to do to try to impress, turn heads, and do what he needs to do to be ready in case Aaron Rodgers goes down at any point. But that's not likely, and Aaron Rodgers probably going to play in the third preseason game, so at least we get Jordan Love for the first two. But we have a full slate of NFL preseason games that are going to be kicking off on Thursday. Most of them are going to be on the NFL Network, so if you're just really jonesing, if you just need the football fix, you can start getting it on Thursday on the NFL Network. And then Friday is the Packers 49ers matchup that you'll get to see Jordan Love take the first few snaps. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
You see this Kel Gundy situation at Oklahoma, Lloyd?
Yeah, strange.
I don't know if there's more to it. Feels like there might be. But it's really sad because Kel Gundy has been at Oklahoma since like 1999 in some capacity. And he is a very loved and very respected coach. But apparently he was in some type of meeting with the players. And the players were supposed to be using their iPads in a film session. And one of his players was distracted. So he picked up the iPad and read what the player was reading on his iPad. I don't know what word specifically it is. I've got some guesses, but I'm not going to throw out those guesses because I think that that'd be a little irresponsible at this point. But this is what he said. He said, "I instructed my players to take notes. I noticed a player was distracted and picked up his iPad and read aloud the words that were written on his screen. The words displayed had nothing to do with football. One particular word that I should never, under any circumstance, have uttered was displayed on that screen. In the moment, I did not realize what I was reading, and as soon as I did, I was horrified. The unfortunate reality is that someone in my position can cause harm without ever meaning to do so." Lloyd, with that being said, he's decided to step down as a coach with Oklahoma.
Man.
This is where we're at.
Yeah, well.
This is how far down this rabbit hole we've gotten?
Yes, it is. And I think we have a good idea of what he probably read as well. But.
Well, he's got the backing and support of pretty much every former Oklahoma player that has come through that organization. Doesn't matter what race, what creed, doesn't matter. What religion, they're backing him. And he's got people that are just pouring out love and concern for him. I don't know what the word was. It was not his word. He read the word. It just seems ridiculous to me that that would be enough for him to step down. If I'm a player in that room, and let's say, you know, he attacks the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints with a harmful word, some type of phraseology that attacks Joseph Smith or something
right.
That's just damaging, and he's reading it from an iPad that somebody else had, I just can't see myself coming down on him being like, I can't ever look at him again as a coach. It's heartbreaking to me. If he meant it and he said it and he's whatever that word
well,
is.
I can't imagine
and
he was me. If he's just reading what the player's thing is, like, I can't imagine he's. It's not coming from him.
It's not coming from him. So,
I mean, in the future, I guess I would just say, you know what? You tell the player, you know what? Get out of the room, whatever, and let's talk after. You're not paying attention. But.
you know, I don't know. Maybe a player came to him after and said, you know, coach, I can't ever look at you again after what you said. And I'm going to go to the media. I'm going to go to the press. I'm going to tell them what you said. And, you know, you should seek help for reading that off of that iPad.
For reading another player's message on the iPad?
If it's as simple as that, this is absurd.
If it's as simple as that, there's got to be more to it, because there's no way. There's no way that he's just reading somebody's statement on there. There's no way.
No, but, you know, we always make jokes with the TV personalities because really they have a teleprompter and they stick to the teleprompter. Right. TV personalities very rarely stray from what's the words are on the teleprompter. That's why I never liked TV because I like to be able to share my opinion, and I don't like formatted radio or formatted TV. I like to just be able to share my feelings and emotions and my opinion. But that's the joke that always comes about. If you write it on the prompter, Ron Burgundy's going to read it. Sometimes you just get in a cadence, and you're reading, and you're reading. And you
Why is the player not getting any heat?
And you can read right through it. He's probably, you know, whatever the word is, he's probably of that race, religion, whatever. Again, I don't know what the word was because it has not been mentioned. Maybe it's a word I don't even know. Maybe it is a word that I don't know that means something that he should be fired about. But I can't perceive a case like that. I'm horrified for the guy. Great coach, very well respected. Joe Mixon has come forward and Joe Mixon's like, look, there's not a negative bone in that guy's body. Do you want to hold this ugly for Roulette? Because this is a bad, this is an ugly, ugly, bud. This is sad what happened. You sure? Sports Roulette it?
Yes, I'm sure.
All
right.
We'll put this one over to Sports Roulette. Whole World News coming up next.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
The Jazz have more numbers retired, I think, than 17 other teams in the NBA. So it would take something crazy at this point for Rudy Gobert to not have his jersey retired. Donovan Mitchell's a totally different story.
Yeah.
My summation, ultimately, at the end of this article, is the only question for Gobert is whether or not he has his jersey retired in Utah and Minnesota. And, you know, but Gobert could do that. Minnesota's the type of place that doesn't have a lot of jersey numbers retired. They could easily retire Rudy Gobert's number. If he goes in, plays 4 years, they make a finals. You know, he's the Hornets act that pushes them over the top. Even though he will always be viewed, I think, as the third best player on that team.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Go!
It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News, presented by City Creek Mortgage on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world in our hands.
Utah State head coach Blake Anderson is going to join us at 2:05, so here very quickly. We better get through this and be ready for Coach to join us, talking about this opener against UConn coming up on the 27th. You know, we're just 19 days away from kicking off this college football season. It's going to be on Fox Sports. We'll talk about that and getting ready for Alabama as well. Utah State very deep into camp right now. So talking with Coach Blake Anderson coming up here in just a few minutes. I didn't think I'd ever have to say this on air, but I'm going to say it because it's part of Whole World News. If you've ever thought about getting a nose job, performing any type of rhinoplasty, please do not do it at home and do not do it yourself. For some reason, this is becoming a thing. And
I thought that was just a given.
It's not a given, Lloyd.
No, it's not?
No, because somebody put on YouTube, it was a YouTube tutorial on how to do an at-home rhinoplasty.
Okay, you can YouTube a lot of things, like, I don't know, building a ladder for a playset or, you know, stuff like that. But this is not something I want to go to YouTube and do, I don't think.
Okay, but you've got a pretty nice nose. Let's say your nose is Jack.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, okay. You got a nice nose. Let's say your nose is Jack. Let's say you've got a deviated septum and you can't breathe and the thing is crooked and you're over there looking like Owen Wilson. And you don't have the money to fix it. And you're thinking, all right, well, yeah, I did. I switched out my fuel filter in my car through a YouTube service. And now I can fix my nose. People are trying to fix their nose off of this YouTube tutorial. Now, good news, YouTube has taken down the tutorial. Bad news is this guy was rushed to the emergency room because he tried to give himself a rhinoplasty. He's a Brazilian man, and he saw the YouTube video and started in with a knife and sutures and breaking bones and trying to replace things.
Let me guess, he drugged himself too.
I don't know.
Did he give himself an IV?
I don't know.
Did he put himself a little under, somewhat?
He must have.
Huh.
Self-medicated to a certain extent. That's a lot of pain.
Yeah, I would
imagine
so.
Get in there, jabbing around the nasal cavity.
Yeah.
There's a lot that can go wrong when you start, you know, opening up your nose and moving cartilage. So,
yeah, I would imagine so.
I honestly didn't ever think we'd ever give a PSA on this show about not doing a do-it-yourself rhinoplasty, but people are doing it. Don't. Don't eat Tide Pods, and don't do your own nose job.
Hey, you want to do a how to make a derby car?
Fine.
There you go. Go to YouTube. Do it. Yeah.
Speed up the wheels.
What it
Fine.
Takes. Yeah, do it. That's a great place to do it.
Don't start digging into your nose with a scalpel. My gosh, people are so dumb. Oh. YouTube has removed all videos on the do-it-yourself nose jobs tutorials. So YouTube released that statement. So thank you, YouTube, for doing something good. Wasatch Medical Clinic hanging out with us today and love some of the things that they can do to help fix you in a clinical manner, not through a YouTube fix-it video. Miles hanging out with us. Miles, how you doing, man?
You know, I'm a little disturbed.
Oh, it's so terrible.
People, please. I mean, let's not even talk about that. Here's another thing you don't want to do at home is treat your ED. I'm going to tell you that right now. There's not really a way to do it. Guys, you've even seen it probably scrolling on your social media, these subscription services to get yourself on a pill that doesn't do anything to treat ED. The pill, all of the name brand pills have been kind of the brand standard of what we go to treat ED. Past that, there's surgery. Thank goodness there's no YouTube video for that. Or needles and injections. We have a pain-free, non-invasive way that is clinically proven to help you get on the other side of ED. It's non-invasive, about 15 minutes in our clinic. I guarantee it, guys, if you are experiencing ED, this is probably one of the best phone calls you could probably make for yourself and your partner that you've made in a long time.
801-901-8000 to contact Wasatch Medical Clinic. And if you're dealing with this or have dealt with this for some time, it's time to get your health back and it's time to take that part of your life back. You need this. It's important for marriages. It's important for mental health. You need it. And Wasatch Medical Clinic can help you with it. 801-901-8000. And Miles, I know that you've got some things to offer our listeners if they do, in fact, call.
That's right. We're really confident about this, guys. So we're going to give you the initial exam assessment and blood flow ultrasound, kind of get an idea of where your particular case lies. That's all going to be free. Plus, we give you an additional gift. It provides powerful results in the bedroom. Guys love it. That's free as well. This is hundreds of dollars worth of value. But again, we're so confident. We want you to pick up the phone, call us at 801-901-8000, and let us help you get on the other side of ED.
801-901-8000. Give them a call now. Get things scheduled and start taking care of yourself. That's 801-901-8000. Head coach for the Utah State Aggies, Blake Anderson, joins us next.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.